Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is without error in its original writings, Lord, that it is without error that your truth goes forth and that we can take the truth of your word, apply it to our lives, live out that truth, and experience not only your presence in a new way, but Lord, your blessing and your encouragement and your love and your grace. Father, we desire to not only be hearers of the word, we desire to be doers of the word. Father, every single one of us falls short. We blow it at times and we mess up. And we thank you so much for your perfect love and grace, Lord, that your holiness, that your holiness can become a part of us by faith, and that we don't have to try and be perfect in our own strength, because we can't, and we would do nothing but fail. But in your strength, your Holy Spirit working through us, we can be seen by you as perfect because of what Christ has done in our lives by grace through faith. And so, Lord, we just pray as we come to your word in the second week in this series in James, Lord, as we really look at true faith and what it means, Father, we pray that your word would enlighten us and transform us, and that we would be doers of your word for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, last week we looked at the first part of James 1, and that was really looking at trials and temptations. And the reason that I chose James was I had heard from many of you, and there were a lot of different, we had input on what you guys wanted to hear about. And some of you said a specific book, some of you were saying different topics. And of all the books in the Bible and all the things, I really felt like the Holy Spirit was leading us down this path to go through the book of James, because it covered so many of the things that were brought up by you. But I tell you, God's truth is not always easy, is it? It's a challenge. This week is no different, because last week was dealing with the trials and temptations and what we go through in those things. This week, it's really looking at a word that's, you know, I at least as a kid, I had trouble with. Anybody else? Obedience. Man, doing what the Word of God says. There's something inside of us that when we're told to do something, there's something inside of us that kind of wants to do the opposite. There's this, that sin nature that desires what we want when we want it. James starts out in James 1, we're looking at verses 19 through 27. The freedom of God's Word. And so it says here, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Whew! And guys, most of us would agree that this really does benefit all of us. This is something it's kind of a general thing that you don't even need to kind of have it go through the Word of God. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. That makes a lot of sense. But it's not just for that sake that the reason that James gives this truth as to why we should take his advice. It goes on to say, why should we be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to become angry? Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. It's not because it will improve our lives as human beings that we're called to do it. It's because our anger gets in the way of what God wants to do through us. When I am angry, guys, I can't tell you how many times I've missed out on the blessings that God has for me because I'm reacting. And rather than bringing situations to a place of hearing and responding and praying through, so many times I've been the one who reacts and I want my way. I want it the way I want it. I want to be obeyed. I want to be heard. I want to be respected. I want to be known. I think we're I don't think I'm alone in this, am I? We like things the way we like it, and we want things done our way. But he wants to encourage us to bring about righteous living. It says in Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You see, the reason we forgive others is not because they deserve it. I'm going to say that again because it's painful to hear. We don't forgive others because they deserve it. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. When somebody does something against me, if I don't forgive them, what happens in my heart? There's something that's built up, and this sense of frustration and anger builds, and I love what it says in Ephesians there. It says bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. It's just kind of this brewing pot, isn't it? And when we get upset and we don't forgive, we stir this pot. And it gets bigger and bigger. The stew gets better and better. The stew of anger gets better and better and more seasoned and more powerful. And now we're looking at the people around us as enemies rather than brothers and sisters in Christ, rather than people who need to know Jesus. And so, remember, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the principalities of this dark world. And it goes on to say in verse 21, therefore, why is a therefore? It's therefore, it's talking about what we just talked about, right? So it's saying, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Because of that, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Guys, think about that. Get rid of all the moral filth. We're surrounded by filth, aren't we? But we're not only surrounded by filth from without. When anger comes in and we've been stirring this pot, now the moral filth we've brought into us. And we need to get rid of it. To experience God's righteousness, we need to get rid of the sin that so easily entangles us. And instead, we need to listen to the word of God and hear from God's truth and respond to God's truth. We need to hear it. But guys, hearing isn't enough. Hearing God's word is step one. But when we hear something, it requires a response, doesn't it? When I hear something, if I'm really listening to God's word, man, I hear it, and God's word demands action. Matthew 7:21 through 23 says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we? Now listen to this list. This is incredible, because this is the list of what we think of as the truly, man, these are like saints. These are the big dogs in the kingdom of God. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will say to them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Okay, think about this list, guys. We've got people who are doing these amazing acts. They're speaking the word of God. They're healing others. They're prophesying. They're driving out demons. I don't know about you, but if I saw that, you know what my response would be? Man, those people are serious about their faith. And all these things have what that's seen on the outside. It's stuff that can be seen by man. But there's something interesting about faith that's different than religion. Religion looks at you do certain things so that you're worthy of God and you achieve acceptance because you've been good enough. That's the lie of religion. And guys, religion is deadly because it puts the weight of salvation on our shoulders. It says if you're good enough, then you get salvation. Guess what? I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough today. I'm not good enough tomorrow. I'm not good enough yesterday. I'm not. Why? Because Christ is holy. He is perfect. I can't relate to perfect. I don't understand perfect. It's far from me. But I can know Christ. And when I receive Christ as my Lord and Savior, now I am His child. And nothing can take that away. Nothing. Guys, we have some people that we know that, as you guys know, we're a blended family. We've got three of our children we adopted from Uganda. They are our children. We've got one the old-fashioned way. She is our child, too. Okay? I get so offended when people say to me things like, oh, you're doing such a wonderful thing. No, I don't voice my offense, but it hurts my heart because I think, no, we're the ones that were blessed. We were without children, and God blessed us with children. And we have some people that we know that had adopted, and I got to tell you, I'm really struggling in my heart because things were hard, and they gave up as parents. They gave up. You don't give up on your children. You don't give up on your kids. And it's exactly the opposite message of the love of God. And it just, it so hurts my soul to think of that poor child who was given up on. Because I know I'm adopted into God's family. And I messed up too much. And God says, you're mine. And God's word says, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Because when we come into true faith in Christ, we are His children. And it doesn't matter. We might turn our backs on God. God doesn't turn His back on us. We are His child for eternity. Not even death. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And guys, that is a beautiful thing. And because of that hope we have in Him, we are transformed from the inside out. And now it's not religious behavior. We're trying to do what's right to be better than the people around us or to be good enough to maybe get over that 50% to earn our way into it. No. It's not by trial and comparison. It's where do we stand with Jesus Christ? Have we given our lives to Jesus to be our Lord and Savior? Do we believe the gospel? Do we know Him? Are we His children? Therefore, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. See, guys, when we come to salvation, now we've got some junk we all need to let go. And here's the thing. I see your junk so much easier than I see my junk. Your junk is obvious. How can you not see it? Oh my goodness. How many times have we talked about it? Really? My junk? Are you implying that I have junk? I mean, right? It's so easy to see it in the others, and it's so hard. It's so easy to have blind spots of our own junk. Man, one of the challenges in being married is that I see my wife's junk, she sees my junk. And now we got to come together and do this whole marriage thing of the two becoming one. Woo! At the wedding we went to yesterday, it was so much fun. We've been to two weddings now this month, and it's like two free dates. It's pretty cool. And I tell you, I was doing some dancing, you know, last. And at weddings, I've danced with my wife twice this month, and my honey will dance with me at weddings. It's kind of a thing. So, and we have a lot of fun. But man, being in relationship with people, in marriage, in friendships, in people we work with, in the list goes on, doesn't it? With our neighbors, with acquaintances. Those relationships are hard because we see the junk. We're called to get rid of it. We're called to not have hearts that get angry, that we're, take a deep breath, pray. Okay, first of all, try not to explode. Second of all, try and love. Is it more important? You've heard me say it before. Is it more important that I'm right, or is it more important that I'm loving? Okay. That's kind of the way I process that scripture. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Man, how do we encourage? How do we build up? How do we love? We got to get rid of the stuff that so easily entangles us. And guys, that stuff. Did you see on the news a little while ago a woman who had a, what was it with the suction cups, the octopus? And she put the octopus up to her face, and it stuck to her face. The first thing Julie said to me was, why would anybody put an octopus on their face? And it like got so stuck, and when it caused some like damage, and she had to go to the doctor to get it removed. And it caused problems. I was serious. The sin that so easily entangles, and the sin that so easily entangles, it doesn't untangle so easily, does it? It comes in super easy. Those suction cups, man. And it's so much harder to get rid of it. And here's the thing. In my strength, I can't. We can't. We don't overcome sin by being super Christian. Here I am to save the day, right? There's no super Christian. It's Christ is the hero in the story. I'm not. We're not. And the one who saves is Christ. And it's only through his love and his truth and his strength that I am transformed. So now, when the opportunity to respond and react happens, rather than reacting, okay, now I have grace. Grace is hard, guys. Now we love receiving it, but it's harder giving it. We see other people, and I tell you, one of the things that makes it so hard is people are so different. And I find that a lot of my struggle personally is not just with the sin of others, but take a little sin and now I react also to the personality that's different. And there's certain personalities that I react to differently. And that sin that so easily entangles comes on. And everything gets kind of mashed together. We need to hear the word of God. But the word of God demands action. What does it say in verse 22? Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. As Nike said, just do it. Just do it. But I love what it says. Do not merely listen to the word and what? And so deceive yourselves. yourselves. Listening to the word creates religion. I'm listening. Now I have an understanding. My intellect understands religion, even the religion of Christianity. So now with this understanding, I can speak into your life. Right? Religion builds self up so that now I have the answers for you. Faith humbles. Oh God, I'm not worthy of your love and grace. Because perfection compared to me, man, it's startling, the contrast. It's painful. The Word of God puts it like this. Anyone who listens to the Word of God but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. The religion of understanding. And now I can look at myself and so quickly I walk away from it in religion and I have no idea of what truth is. Now I'm puffed up of self and I see the flaws of others. And so now my religious activity destroys the people around me. I'm pushing the people down around me to build myself up. Guys, man, how easy is it for us to go in our flesh and look and then turn away and have no concept of what God's word has revealed in me. And I can't do it. Here's the thing. I can't see and know and remember who I am if I don't have Christ in my life. Because what I'm seeing, oh my goodness, so on that, what I'm seeing is so different than reality. So at the wedding yesterday, there were pictures taken, right? And I got to see one of those pictures. Now, I looked at my face in the mirror before I went to the wedding because I actually had to comb my hair, get cleaned up. And I'd been working on sanding the railing. I had to shower and get all ready. And then there was a picture taken at the wedding. And I looked at it. And I was like, why was my father at the wedding? Because the picture I have in my head of even what I see in the mirror when I'm looking at it today, yesterday, is not reality. Somehow my vision sees me as younger than who I am. I see a picture of myself and I'm like, oh my goodness. Julie and I were dancing at the wedding, and as we were dancing, they said, okay, everybody who's been married less than 5 years, go sit down. We were still dancing, right? We were dancing. Everybody who's been married less than 15 years, go sit down. We're still dancing. Everybody who's been married less than 25 years, go sit down. We're still dancing. And at 15 years, I see somebody whisper over to Isaac, my oldest son, how long have they been married? Because we're still dancing. Yeah. And I was surprised. He said, 26 years. I watched his mouth move, and I could think, oh, he knew the right answer. Then after 25, we're still dancing. 27, we had to go sit down. But there were only a few left on the dance floor. And Julie and I said to Julie on the way home, I said, honey, do you realize that we're the old ones? We're the old ones there. We kept dancing. And everybody kept going and sitting down, and we kept dancing and dancing and dancing. It was fun, but it was a little surprising. You see, the vision that we have of ourselves isn't always reality, is it? And when we're looking at not reality, when we're looking through the vision of religion, it's so easy to turn and start seeing things wrong and responding and acting wrong, responding with a religious mindset. But guys, in faith, we have the ability to now turn and act in faith. But there's still the flesh, isn't there? And there's still the old man. So we need to get rid of the stuff that so easily entangles. And and work out of faith and not religion with each other, and have the right picture of who we are in Christ, not just who we are, but in Christ we're made new. The old is gone, the new has come. Oh, man, it's exciting. It's exciting that we don't have to keep going through those things the way we used to. So after we look and see ourselves, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But it goes on to say in verse 25, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Now, guys, we're familiar with the Mosaic law, aren't we? The law. This is not talking about the Mosaic law. This is the perfect law. The perfect law. And when Paul talks of the law here, excuse me, when James talks of the law here, it's a different context. It's the law of faith in God's grace and love and promises. Love God with everything. Love neighbors yourself. Love. What I'm hearing there is, you know what maturity is? It's learning how to love in a biblical way. We tend to look maturity as, look at what I know. I know more, I'm more mature. I'm older, I'm more mature. I've been doing this longer. God sees maturity as transformation of us, so that we get away from the lie in the mirror of religion. We receive Christ. We understand, we know who we are. We're humbled by our sin and how great God is. And now we have the ability to love others well. Whew, man, it's hard to love somebody well when they're coming at you, isn't it? It's hard to love somebody when there's disagreement. It's hard to love well in so many things, in so many different ways. Obedience, not just listening to, but the perfect law of Christ gives the Christian the joyous, here it is, freedom. Freedom to be what he or she was created for. You see, God doesn't want us to be bound in our sin. He hates the slavery of sin. Slavery is evil. Slavery to sin is evil. He wants us to be free in Christ. And when I'm free, I can go, and now my wholeness as a person isn't dependent on you treating me the way I want to be treated. Now my wholeness, I have the freedom to be who I am in Christ, regardless of the situation around me. I don't have to be owned by sin or by the sin of others. I can be free in Christ. And now as the temptation comes to respond in an unbiblical way, man, I can be free in him. But I got to tell you guys, how many times have I been right in that place where I don't experience that freedom? Why? Because I was hurt. Because I was wounded. Because I forgot what I looked like. I forgot what I looked like. Hurt people. And I forgot what I looked like in the mirror. And now I'm giving the response of religion rather than the response of faith. And I hurt the people around me. We get the freedom to be who we were created to be. It goes on in verse 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves. Whew, ouch. And their religion is what? Worthless. Anybody read this verse and think, let's go to the next one? This one's a little too close to home. Man. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue. Guys, the rein in Scripture is compared to a few things. It's compared to the bit that goes into the horse's mouth to move it. It's compared to the rudder, a small part of the boat that moves the direction of the ship. And so we're given this picture through the Word of God that the tongue is this small part of us that wields a lot of power. And it can be used for blessing, or it can be used to bring curse and to experience hardship. Man, the tongue. We've got to be so careful with our tongue. Because there's a truth about the tongue, which in the heat of the moment, it feels good in the flesh to let it loose. It feels good to let it run. Why? Because I'm getting my truth out there. This needs to be heard. And I can't tell you how many times I've allowed my tongue to wound others. And where I wound people most is when I'm wounded, when I'm not whole, when I'm not doing well in my walk, when I'm struggling with my sin, when I'm struggling and it's like my life is at the place where you ever fill a cup up so full that you can see that the ridge of the water is higher than the top of the cup. You take one more drop then, and it comes spilling out of all edges. All it takes is one more thing, and it just... And so when my heart is not where it needs to be with the Lord, when I'm struggling there, man, that's right when something happens, and watch out, because now you're getting my spillover. You may have been only a few drops of that cup. You may have been half the cup. But you were the last drop. You were the last drop, and so now you're getting my wrath. Yeah. So I just, you know, this is something that that we struggle with. Religion that our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. What are those two things? To serve those who are in need around us. What happens when I'm serving those who are in need around me? I'm getting my eyes off of me. Because, you know, the number one person I worship besides God, it's me. I worship me all the time. And it's a problem. Because I want what I want, when I want it, how I want it. And now as I go through life, yeah. But it says religion that God accepts. God the far Father accepts. God our Father accepts. And that means he accepts in what? In faith. Because if it's God our Father, that means we already have a relation. He's our dad. He's not a God out there somewhere that we know about. He's our personal, heavenly, perfect Father. Man. God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after others, to serve those who are in need around us. Orphans and widows is the picture of those who are most in need. But what happens when we love well? Something changes inside of the one giving the love. And it's beautiful. Orphans, widows, and their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The reality is there's a ton of junk out there. It's so easy for us to get caught up in the things of this world and that allow us that sin which so easily entangles. Now, one of the reasons I'm reacting the way I am is because I've got this weight of sin. Sin's kind of like the backpack, and the more sin I put in without dealing with before God, it's weighing me down. And the more I just try and sweep under the carpet and not deal with God, it's this weight that I'm carrying. And God says, I want you to be free. Give me the backpack of all that sin, all that junk. I was meant to carry that. You never were. You can't. It's going to destroy you. Now, it's not going to destroy your faith if you're in Christ, but it's going to destroy the blessings of faith, of you receiving and experiencing your wholeness in Christ. And it's going to give the enemy a foothold to bring in the lies so that you're believing the lies about God and people rather than the truth. James looks at those who regard themselves as religious by fulfilling their duties to God through all these outward ways of giving and doing the needy and all these things, praying and worshiping. And he says, in doing all this, they cannot control their own speech. Their outward religious acts are worthless. Their hearts aren't right. Their mouths aren't right. They're not bringing love to others. They're bringing discouragement. They're so busy in rituals that they forget what it is to love and love well. Guys, let's be lovers of God and people. Let's build those around us up. Let's encourage. Let's come alongside. Let's not give up in doing good. Guess what? Doing good's exhausting, right? It's exhausting. Why? Because sometimes it's really hard to love other people, especially if it's that personality type that it's really hard to love for you. But let's not give up in loving well. Matthew 22, 37 through 40 says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. How much of the law and the prophets? All. So all of God's word, all of it hangs on these two foundations. Love God with everything. Love people with God's love. As God loves has transformed you, take that love now and give that same love to others. Man, can you imagine what our world would look like if people of faith lived out these verses? We have a God who lived out these verses. And look at how it's changed the world. Imagine if his people obeyed. Guys, the evidence of our Christian character, what's on the inside, it shows itself through our conversation. God's perfect law gives us grace for others, for the people around us. We aren't dependent on the right choices of them and their responses for our wholeness and our peace of mind. Not only is Christ's character revealed in our conversation, it's revealed in our concern. We actually really care for others. It's not that we do good works because look at what a great person I am. Look how I'm helping. I should have my name on a plaque somewhere because I'm a really good person. Look at all I'm doing. That's not it. It's that we're transformed or we're changed from the inside. And now our concern is real for it. Now it's not we're helping others to make ourselves feel and look good. Now it's the natural response because we've been loved. We know what it's like. And we get to love back. And it feels good. It feels like our wholeness being experienced when we love well. It feels like God is really here. And I'm experiencing him in the moment. And I know him. And I'm living out his love. We put others first. So is it... Christian character is revealed in our conversation, our concern, and then also in our conduct. We act, we don't react. Or when we react, we ask for forgiveness and we forgive. We react less. But when we're struggling, when we're sinning, we're able to, okay, I blew it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. It's amazing. I can't tell you how many times I've felt offended and then somebody comes to me and says, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and it's gone. And when I forgive, man, it's not something that stays in the cup for the drops to fill up the cup. When I forgive, it's gone. Not that it didn't happen, not that there's a lack of truth, but the weight is not there. The sins against me, when I'm in my brokenness, the sin creates the wound. By grace through faith, now the wound becomes a scar. And the scar reminds me not of my pain, but of God's love. This used to be an open wound. Now it's a scar. Look at what God did in my heart and my life. Now I get to love others and help bring the love of Christ so that their open wounds that are festering, that are infected with sin and hate and bitterness and brokenness and pain, that in Christ, that becomes their scar, their testimony, not a reminder of the pain, a reminder of the goodness of God. And it goes on, and we get to be involved in each other's lives. We get to be used by God, and God's truth gets to bless others around us. Second, in ending, I want to say this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Behold, the new has come. Guys, it's miraculous. There's no reason the new should come, but in Christ it came. And now when the new's come, now we don't forget what we look like in the mirror. Now we go out and we remember the brokenness of the mirror. And in the humility, we serve and love others well. And it's hard. And we'll blow it. And don't beat yourself up to no end when you blow it. Go to God. Go straight to, Father, forgive me. And where you can make things right with others, do it. And sometimes, here's the truth, guys. Sometimes you can't make things right with others. So don't put them in a box and say, they're dead to me. Forgive, be available. Forgive and be available. Because if you forgive, that anger doesn't control you. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need your love. We need your grace so badly. Lord, protect us from religious behavior. Protect us from trying to compare ourselves, from trying to be good enough. Lord, we desire to be whole in you, and that means receiving your death, burial, resurrection. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who to this day has heard the story of God and put it in a religious mindset, Lord, I pray that you would free them from that. And if there's anybody here who wants to know this truth, so what we've talked about can be theirs today, not just when they die, but today at this moment, they could be made new, Lord. I pray that they would receive you, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. Lord, you died because you're holy. My sin can't be with you. And so, Father, I pray that they would say, Father, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for doing things my way. I choose to believe in you, Christ Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I believe. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I give you my life. I don't fully know what that means. But I'm tired of doing it my way and doing it wrong. I'm tired. I'm exhausted of all that junk. I give you my life. Take it. It's yours. Lord, I pray for that person, for those people. Lord, I pray for salvation today, for a brother, for a sister, that you may be glorified. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you for the truth of your word. Use it for your glory in our lives. Lord, may we become less and you become more, and as a result of us becoming less and you becoming more, we are made whole because of who we are in you, a new identity. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. Thank you, Lord. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.